I greet you all again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And for those who will listen at this word from on high, we greet you wherever you are. The Lord is there. He rests on us in all that we say and do if we obey him. If we call him Lord and then act like he's Lord, he's got our back. Can I get a witness? And so it's with that spirit that I greet you. And Deaconess Freeman and Melanie and family are on the road returning from the vacation, and so we will not have the blessing of her prayers. So I will lead us now in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to assemble ourselves together again on the Sabbath. That whatever we were doing, you gave us the power to stop and to unite ourselves in spirit and in truth and to seek you while you can be found. We thank you, Lord, that even though we have not done everything that is pleasing in your sight, that you still love us, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the will to seek you by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you've allowed us to stop following the patterns of this world, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of his righteousness will be added unto us. And so we're thankful this morning, Lord God. We thank you that the snow has come and gone, and that the birds are chirping loudly this morning because they sense that spring is in the air. And we thank you that we know that if it be spring, it'll be because you allowed it. And so we're grateful and thankful that the sun is shining through the clouds and that we're starting another day's journey, a day that you told us to rejoice and be glad in. So we're glad this morning, Father God, that you called us out. We're the ecclesia, your assembled ones who come together this morning to hear from on high. We believe and know that no man speaks for you unless you called him, that you guided him. And Lord God, I declare in the name of Jesus that you're speaking this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'm just a small vessel that you're using. And all the ears that will hear and the eyes that will see this morning come seeking you while you can be found. We pray again for those of our members who are on the road and for those who are not with us this morning and for those who will join us, Lord God. We ask that you bless them and keep them, that you let your light shine on them and that you grant them your everlasting peace. Now, Lord God, we pray for those in our military and those who are away serving in capacities for our government and for our nation and for our people. We pray, Lord God, that those who are lost, who have lost jobs, some 12 million, that you help them know that there is only one hope, and that's in Jesus. That you guide us through these times, these perilous times that none of us know what will happen, but you know, Father, and we trust that you got our back, and so we continue to be obedient and to focus on you and not follow the patterns of this world. Bless us, Lord God, as we now study and now hear your word. Bless all who are here and those who are en route here. Bring them safely, Father. I pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Church, say in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good, he's merciful, he's kind and gentle to us. We don't deserve him, but he loves us anyway. Can I get a witness? I find that the little small things that we might neglect and not know, things like the ability to have air going to your nostrils and into your body and to be able to move your tongue and your eyes and not have toothaches. Oh, y'all come on with me this morning. You know, if you just stop and reason with your own mind how good God is. For we now know that none of us are able to have any bodily functions without him. Oh, y'all come on with me now. We must learn to thank the Lord and thank him for everything. He's given us children for those who have children. It's not by what we've done, it's what he allowed to happen. Can I get a witness? And we thank him. No matter what the condition that we find ourselves in, he's still God. And he's still on the throne. Can I get a witness? And he still sits high and he looks low. And he has our whole life planned out for us if we trust him and lean and depend on him. Oh, that's a good feeling this morning. And y'all don't watch it. I'll preach on being thankful this morning because it is a mighty powerful thing to know that you serve the God who lives and walks and has always had our back. Before we ever came out of our mother's womb, he was there. Come on, somebody. I don't care what your mother was. When you came out of that womb, God had his hand on you.
Amen.
I never saw my mother, never knew anything about her. And the people who could tell me still will not release it. But this one thing I know, she carried me to term, and God took care of it.
Amen.
Oh, y'all, come on with me.
Amen.
You know, in spite of the fact that I never was able to hear her voice or to have her touch on my small body, but I know that God was in the picture because she allowed her to carry me to term. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Some people look at that in a sad way. I look at it that God was thinking and smiling on me, and he knew that at some stage of my life, he'd have me declare his word.
Amen.
And so you find a purpose for God, what he has for you. He has a purpose for all of us. Can I get a witness? We're not accidents just roaming along day by day. We're under the power of the Most High God. And when you know that he is who he is, you find rest and peace and joy and happiness in this kingdom. Listen to me. The Lord is good, I tell you. Don't let anyone steal your joy.
Amen.
They didn't give it to you, nor can they take it away. Y'all come on with me this morning. Hallelujah. You see, no matter what the enemy brings in front of you, the word says that nothing will come thy way.
Amen.
That no tongue can rise up against you. No force of evil can come to you. God sits high and he sees what goes on in the matter of men.
Amen.
For those who trust him, he always is there. That's a good feeling when I lie my head down at night and close my eyes. I know that the Father's dispatch angels over me, and he watches over Connie and I and over this entire flock. I don't close my eyes at night until I pray for everyone in this church. And thank God we're small enough, I know everyone by name. And our Father in heaven knows us all by name. If y'all could get this, he calls us out one by one, name by name. So this morning we come in that spirit of thanksgiving. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I don't care how old you are, how young you are. It's the same sun shining on all of us. I don't care if you don't have a dime in your pocket or you have excess money. It's the same God, Jehovah, who sits high and he looks low. And he has us in his unchanging hands. This morning I want to talk to you about a matter that is extremely important, as all matters of the faith and the oracles of God, about this matter of resting in the Lord. Church, one of the problems we face now is that every time you turn the TV on, you hear about negative things that are happening, and they are happening. But I suggest that we stop listening at them because they are not what the Lord speaks about. Y'all come with me this morning. You see, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But if we don't let that interfere with our rest that the Lord has given us with him, then it's not an issue of our concern. Can I get a witness? In our text this morning, we find that this matter of rest is being discussed. And I'll read from the Message Bible. You follow along with whatever translation or whatever Bible, John MacArthur or Full Life Study Bible. Listen to these words. For as long then, and again I'm reading from the Message Bible. For as long then as that promise of resting in him pulls us on to God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. Let me stop here for a minute. Sister Candy, are you on the call? All right. My spirit is being...
Are you reading from?
Say again?
What chapter are you reading from?
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 11.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, my spirit is troubled, and I know you can give me peace and rest, Lord God. There are folks that are not on this call, Lord God. I pray that you watch over them and that you protect them and guide them as we continue to walk this morning in your word. I pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 4 says, we receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. You need to underline that second part of that, part B, because that's applying to us today. Verse 3, if we believe, though we'll experience that state of resting. You see, if you believe, I'm off the scripture, if you believe and obey, you will have rest. Back on the text. But not if we don't have faith. You need to underline that again. Remember that God said explicitly, I vow they'll never get where they're going, never be able to sit down and rest. God made vows, and even though he finished his part before the foundation of the world, somewhere it's written, God's rest the seventh day, having completed his work. But in this other text, he says, I'll never be able to sit down and rest. So this promise has not yet been fulfilled. These early ones never did get to the place of rest because they were disobedient. You need to underline that number 6 there. Disobedience will take you away from the rest of God. Can I get a witness? Some people say that you just wind along and praise the Lord and do all this. Listen at me closely. You and I must be obedient, lest we will not have the blessings of the Lord. Forget this mess about the year of his favor and the year of Jubilee. Listen at me. Make it your year of obedience. Verse 7, God keeps renewing his promise, setting the day as today, just as he did in David's psalm. Centuries later, then the original invitation, today, take note of that. Please listen. Don't turn a deaf ear. Verse 8. And so this is still a live promise, church. It wasn't canceled at the time of Josiah. Otherwise, God wouldn't keep renewing the appointment for today. The promise of arrival and the rest is still there for God's people. Thank you, Lord. God himself is at rest. And at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with him. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So let's keep at it. Eventually arrive at the place of rest, not dropped out through some sort of disobedience. Now, I read to you from Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, why am I? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, and I read from the Message Bible. Key things that I want you to underline, I have mentioned to you. Sister Candy, I'm glad that you're with us.
Thank you.
I'm very sensitive who's here and who's not here, and sorry, God answered my prayer, and so we'll journey on. God's a good God, is he not?
Amen.
He has all power in his unchanging hands. Now, church, we understand there is no rest for the soul apart from Christ. You've got to understand that. You have no rest without Christ. We live in a world that it will continuously torment you. Oh, yeah, we got to get this. It will continuously make you feel down and out and have no hope and no peace. That's because we relinquish what gives us peace and rest, and that's Christ Jesus. It's inconceivable for us to be able to do this by ourselves. Are y'all come with me? You can think all you think about how big and bad you are, You are nothing without Christ.
Amen.
You have no rest without Christ.
Amen.
If you run your mouth and profess that you somebody that you are not, you will not have rest, because the Father says that our knowledge is folly.
Amen.
It's foolishness. And to walk without him puts you on a side of existence that you don't want to be on. And that's the side where you will fail and end up in eternal tormenting. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, vainness causes men and women, boys and girls, to ignore God's word and therefore be disobedient to it. And if your vainness, your pride, and your arrogance, and that, by the way, applies to people and families and churches and nations. You see, one of the problems that man has is that he thinks he can do it by himself. Oh, y'all come on with me. He thinks that his education and his jobs and all this prairie chicken stuff that he focuses in on will carry him through. We're finding out this morning that it's today that you must seek him. It's the day that you'll be in his rest when you obey him. Come on with me. You cannot have rest unless you turn your life over to Christ. You see, man has this expectation of living for today. And look what's happening to that. It ain't just the poor people getting laid off. Everybody getting laid off. You see, when you have rest with God, it does not affect you. Oh, y'all, come on with me. You know, I'm so thankful that the Lord planted the Amish in parts of this country. Because, see, the Amish ain't worried about none of this. Let me give you two scriptures to make yourself a note of. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. That tells us that we are to live a quiet and peaceful life and make it our ambition to do that. That's not something you casually do. You need to do that. And then it tells at the end you need to work with your own hands. Now, I've done a lot of research on that, working with your own hands. I know that Paul was a tent maker. Oh, y'all come on with me now.
Amen.
And that he told the church that I'm an example to you. I don't take a dime from you. Oh, come on with me. But I work with my hands making tents. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, worked with his hands. Oh, come on with me now. He was what? A carpenter. And he labored and he worked. Oh, if we get it. You know, what happened was that the Jewish culture thought that labor was disgusting. So did the Greeks, by the way. They thought that you had to have high philosophy and high thoughts. And that's why we're in the boat we're in now. Because man's high thoughts and man's greed and selfishness and self-centeredness is leading down a path that we're going to have difficulty unless we rest in God. Oh, y'all come on with me. You see, every time you turn on that television, you're going to hear something. And if you really listen and do your homework, you'll find that this is happening all over the world. And nations are now preparing, listen closely, nations are preparing for its people to rebel against them. And they've got their armies amassed to be able to fight the same thing that happened during the French Revolution. You see, when man wakes up and realizes that he has no peace and he got no food, he has no jobs, he starts acting out his demonic side. Oh, I don't think y'all got that. Let me kind of bring this one more time as I move on. You see, when you're in a building and everybody's masked in this building and everything's fine until somebody hollers fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then man changes.
Amen.
He takes on the nature of man, self-preservation. And he'll stomp over men, women, and children to try to save himself. Oh, I don't believe y'all hear me
Amen.
This morning. You know, one of our problems in this life is that if we don't get a grip on Christ, we are despicable people.
Amen.
Self is inundated in our flesh. And self, if you don't turn your life over to Christ, will control your actions. And your actions are ungodly. Oh, y'all come with me. So what we must understand is that this rest that we are being told about this morning is the rest that all who believe in Christ can expect. Instead of rest, though, there are many who will have turmoil, in particular in the times that we are going through.
Amen.
The Bible speaks about suffering, but the suffering that Christ talks about is not the same suffering that most men will face in these next 24 months or longer. It's endangerment of our hearts not to know Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And here in this chapter 4 of Hebrews, he instructs and exalts them on participating in the rest of God. And I bring to you this morning the same text to tell us that you and I must rest in God as we take this journey day by day. Come on with me. Our hearts have to be converted. And so this morning I want to give you 5 points that might be able to help you as you allow the Spirit to guide you into the peace and the rest of God. Before I get started, let me just make one more attempt as the representative of God to make sure you understand. You can't fake this.
Amen.
You can't buy it. You can't talk about it. You must live it.
Amen.
You must be obedient. And that's where man goes awry.
Amen.
I told you last Sunday or Sunday before last about the scripture that says, train up a child in where he should walk, and when they get old, they will not depart. You see, that was not something that you could just talk. You had to train your children in the word. Oh, come on with me. You couldn't send them to church like my parents did most of the time. You had to take them to church. And you had to sit down at the dinner table or around your dinner table and teach them the way.
Amen.
You see, I grew up in a home that was a clean home, and my mother made everything from scratch. My father went to work at DuPont. He worked in the paint making department at DuPont. He worked hard all his life. I never recalled my father or my mother, and these were my foster parents, ever speaking to me about the Lord. Never uttering a word.
Amen.
There was a Bible on the table, and you better not touch it. It was the family Bible, and that Bible sat there. Like, I got one family Bible sitting under the table over here. But thanks be to God, there's Bibles all over this house.
Amen.
I give God the glory for that. And so you see that this manner of resting in God is not a talking thing. It's a walking thing. It's a doing thing. And it's easier to talk than it is to walk.
Amen.
So as we go down this journey this morning, I want you to take good notes. First point, a warning regarding rest. Chapter 4 opens with a warning based on Israel's tragic failure in the wilderness. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Listen at me. It is not enough, as James clearly puts, for us to hear the word. We must be doers of the word.
Amen.
So you need to have a clear understanding about what is being said here. You see, Israel responded to the good news was tragic deficient. The message they heard was the was of no value to them. And church, we face the same crisis of lack of faith today. We don't pay it any mind. It goes in one ear and out the other. Oh, come on, somebody. And you will not have rest if you don't heed the word. You not only must hear it, but you must adhere it. And if you adhere it, that includes having faith in it. Oh, y'all come with me now. You got to have faith that what you hear around you, it will not be your end demise.
Amen.
And so Brother Lance says you stretch out by faith to look for no more employment. You must always know that God is with you. He'll never leave you.
Amen.
Nor will he forsake you.
Amen.
Amen.
I got to expand on that just a little bit this morning. You see, man will try to make you other than what God wants you to be. Oh, he's
Amen.
Good at that. We know the soothsayers, the ones that'll find something to put you down about. You can't keep a job, or you always getting in trouble, or you ain't good enough and you ain't right enough. You does anybody have that feeling sometime where people just make you feel like you are nothing?
Yes.
Amen.
Put you down. I come by to tell you that if you rest in God, you pray for those people. The Bible says pray for those who will spitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. When you try to live righteous, they're going to try to put you down. And if you're resting in God, you have nothing to fear. You don't have to get into a pity-patty party with them. You don't have to argue your case. The Bible says your words will not change the hearer. So if you're resting in God, what you do is you pray for them. You don't raise your mouth to curse them. You pray for them because let me tell you how it works. Those who are believers only utter words that edify one another.
Amen.
So getting back to this testing who's for real and who's not, you can test spirits quickly.
Amen.
Watch what they say. Watch how you feel when they say something to you. Y'all come on with me now.
Amen.
And if you don't feel good, then you need to watch out because that's the Antichrist. No true believer of God says anything that puts anybody down. These little subtle things, you know how it works. The little eyebrow that go up.
Amen.
The little huh.
Mm-hmm.
Listen at me. Don't let them steal your rest.
Amen.
Amen.
God is in charge. No man but Christ who walked this earth has the authority over men.
Amen.
And what's more important, no man can judge you.
Amen.
Amen.
I hope y'all getting this.
Mm-hmm.
See, church, we must not focus on people's opinions of us. That's why I call people prairie chickens. You
mm-hmm.
see, a prairie chicken just runs their mouth. And the more they can put you down, the better they can bark, bark, bark.
Amen.
But they have no power. You give them power when you feed into their fantasy.
Amen.
And it is indeed a fantasy to think that you better than somebody else. Oh, I'm not sure y'all getting this. You see, it's just the same way with this economy. If you feed into this, this what's going on, you're going down.
Amen.
If he gave you a job the last time, if he took care of feeding your family the last time, he'll take care of your family this time.
Amen.
Our mission is to rest in him. Now, man, let me make sure I got that clear. You don't just sit back and say, God got my back. Because that's not scriptural neither. He has your back, but he tells you things to do and things not to do. For example, he tells you not to be in debt, and all of us in debt. At least I can say I am.
Me too.
And I'm paying this debt off quick as I can pay it off. I'd rather eat beans than pay that debt down. Because the Bible's clear about that. If you don't watch it, they'll snatch the sheets from under you.
Amen.
The people you're in debt to. And what's happening? Taking the homes. They're repossessing cars. The repo man, he run around with a police unit behind him. Listen at me. All we have to do is rest in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So again, this point of warning to you that we must all rest in Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
There is not a fretful soul in the world who is trusting. The message they hear was of no value to them. Hebrews 4:2 says, don't let that be the case in anyone within the sound of my voice. It's all valuable. It's all wholly inspired. It's all used for edifying and for admonishing us. Another point in the same section. You cannot have God's rest if you don't read your Bible. Listen at me. Your Bible should be as close to you as your wallet.
Amen.
Your Bible should be as close to you and, in fact, closer than your remote.
Amen.
Until you wake up and stop putting on the TV to hear what's going on in the news, y'all come on with me.
Amen.
And wake up reaching for your Bible, you'll not have rest.
Amen.
Oh, that's how I go. Because I can tell you without you putting it on, every time you turn on the TV, you're going to hear what? Bad news. There is no good news in this kingdom but in God's word.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
Why they call it good news.
Amen.
Point two, the nature of the rest. Point two, the nature of the rest. As we have noted, the writer of Hebrews is a very sophisticated man in his immense knowledge of the Greek Old Testament. And he was writing to acknowledgeable Jewish Christians. So sometimes the meaning which was obvious to the hearers is lost on us. Here in Hebrews verse 3 and 5 of our text, the writer describes the nature of the rest in cryptic terms that will take some decoding. It reads, now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God had said. So I declare to you on earth in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the 7 days in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all work. And again, passage about his saying is, they shall never enter my rest. Now, here's some points. Divine rest, make a subtitle, divine rest. We know first that he twice quotes Psalm 91 and 11. They shall never enter my rest. His purpose is not to imply that the readers will not enter his rest, but rather to show that God's called the resting being offered my rest. Did you get that? My rest. All of us try to relax and chill out. But we're dealing with God's rest.
Yes.
My rest. And that's a divine rest.
Yes.
That's not a rest that we go get lawn furniture and get a nice garden out in our yards and sit out there and call ourselves resting with a beer. Or a glass of wine. That's not the rest we're talking about. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen.
See, because that rest will cause you to get drunk, mosquito bites, and get to thinking about all the problems of the world. You ain't resting. That's why I don't mean no harm, but when people go on vacation, I'd rather stay home. I get more. I ain't never been on vacation where I was resting. You got to ride wherever you're going, traffic on the roads, and you got to check in. Then you got to try to go eat. Then you got to go to the events. You know, you try to cram a whole lot into a little bit of time. But we on vacation. We resting. Every time I've ever been on vacation, I don't rest. I get back home and say, thank you, Jesus. But that's me. I'm not fighting people going on vacation. You do what you got to do. I'm back on this divine rest. To catch something of this idea, church, imagine yourself invited by Prince Charles to enjoy his rest. Now, you know Prince Charles is royal. I mean, I could even say Obama. You know, you go in the White House, somebody fixing your food. I'm talking about after the business hours, though, because, you know, the rest of that stuff up there look like it's chaos.
Yep.
I mean, I've often thought if I was a president, the first thing I'd tell y'all, get some lobsters up in here. I'm supposed to be eating lobster, but I'm there wouldn't be no Weight Watchers food up in there for sure. But here's the point I'm trying to make, is that even with the powerful and all that they possess, there is no true rest outside of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so with that thought, poor man can rest.
Amen.
Come on with me. Amen. See, that's how I know he's real. He gives the same to the rich that he gives to the poor.
Amen.
He gives same to the educated that he gives to the uneducated.
Amen.
He gives same to the fat that he gives to the skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, come
Amen.
On with me.
Amen.
He gives same to boys and girls. He is no respecter of person.
Amen.
I don't know nothing on this earth that fits that category.
Me neither.
Everybody's up to something. Now, let me tell you about cosmetic rest. In verse 3b and 4, the author further reveals the character of his rest by relating it to rest God entered when he finished creating the universe. You know, a lot of people miss that. His cosmetic rest. And his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh days in his word. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. By the way, church, God has allowed us to have the Sabbath. It's supposed to be a day of rest. That is funny. It's almost pathetic.
Amen.
We try to cram everything into the day of preparation, which is Saturday, and then we carry it over to Sunday. If we were following the scripture, we wouldn't do any cooking on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We would truly chill out. But man
Amen.
Is so smart. He's so wise. Mm-hmm. He's so knowing that right now Walmart's parking lot up the street is packed.
Amen.
Oh, y'all come on with me. Total chaos in there. And it's packed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where the other Walmarts is, but the one up the street from me is chaos. And I've had to go in there because, and Connie's right, the Weight Watchers is cheaper in there than anywhere else.
Yep.
I'd almost rather go there to Kroger's with his peace. y'all bear with me for a minute.
Yeah.
I turn the corner. As soon as I turn the corner, my blood pressure go up. Cars all parked up on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. People dashing in between cars. Cars all not a handicapped in a handicapped spot. And not
Amen.
Only do they take the handicapped spot, they take the yellow lines alongside of the handicap.
Amen.
And I get so tired of calling the cops up there, I guess they say, here you come again, the Walmart hater. I got to ride all through the parking lot trying to find a place to park. They done parked everywhere, but where they was, y'all might as well say, man, you know that's what goes on at Walmart. So I will just, oh, you put your emergency lights on, that makes it okay. You know what? If you really ain't, if you want to analyze man's depravity, go park at Walmart and just sit there for an hour. Now, if you don't get robbed, You might learn something.
Are y'all laughing? This the Walmart I'm talking about. I'll be off this in 1 second. A young girl looked like Connie saw because the cops had her in the car. She couldn't have been no more than 5'3". She'd have robbed 5 women at Walmart with a wrench. Y'all listen to this because this might save your life. She walks, the women walking up, putting all their stuff. You know how they y'all do, putting stuff in the back seat and in the trunk? And then they stick the wrench, she stuck the wrench in the back of them and said, give me your wallet. They ain't seen her. Ain't seen if that's a real gun. 5 of them. When the cops caught her down the street here at the gas station and opened a trunk, Connie was a witness, trunk full of wallets. A Walmart special. No rest. No peace. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Rest that is real is at peace. Rest that is real does not run this stop sign out here in front of my house where most cars come through here because it's a quiet old folks neighborhood and they know ain't nobody watching them. But Bishop Cuff, as quick as I can get the license, I call a plea. Know why? That's unrest.
Amen.
Yeah, I believe people who run stop signs in residential neighborhoods will kill you. Ideal rest is the next point. The character of God's rest is the idea of all rest. First, it is joyous. Job 37:8 tells us that at creation, the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of rest we need to get, ideal rest. There were, of course, echoing the joy of the Creator that he had carried into the Sabbath rest. Second, his rest is satisfying. Oh, y'all, come on with me now. You ever sit down and just study your Bible and you nobody's but you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit? Isn't that a good rest?
Yeah. Amen.
You forget about all the problems of the world, and that text will just take you, and before you know it, and the hours pass by. It's like going to a movie and hate that it's over. Genesis chapter 1 says it was good. And church is still good. The things of God and things that he created are good. Can I get a witness? Third is a working rest. God finished his great work and rested. For it was not a session from work, but rather the proper response that comes from completing a great work. Listen at this point. Do not overtax your body. Let me try that another way. Don't take on more of the world than you can have rest with. I'm praying for the president because I think he's trying to do too much too quick. And old saying, haste makes waste. And so slow your roll down is what I'm trying to tell you. Slow down and think about the Lord. Ask yourself, when's the last time I saw his birds flying? They're chirping all around you, and you don't even know which birds are chirping. You don't know what color they are, where they're chirping, where they stay at. I know all the bird nests in my neighborhood. And I figure y'all laugh at that. Now, my question is, do you know any bird's nests in your neighborhood?
Yep.
And I know what the squirrels do every day. Now, I know what y'all are saying. Bishop Comfrey Ty, he ain't got nothing else to sit around there watching the squirrels and the birds. But I suggest to you, that's restful.
Amen.
Y'all don't get this. I know. I got to work. You got to work. I got to rest. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Even when I worked, I would go outside and chill out and watch those birds. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Amen. Just to get out of the work environment and get a moment of fresh air, and better yet, to have a pocket Bible with you and sit down in your quiet space, even if you have to go get in your car and find peace and quiet. Because there's total chaos in your workplace.
Amen.
Oh, y'all, don't, I don't think y'all getting it. Because, see, you know what's kicking you? It's the money. And it's chaos. You got a dollar. I heard a guy on the show this morning said that a man walked by and was $100 on the ground, and they walked by. He didn't pick it up. So the other man said, why didn't you pick it up? He said if it was worth something, somebody else would have picked it up. And we still chasing worthless money.
Amen.
Joy and satisfaction in working rest. Make sure that you are resting and not just working. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
I run across people every day, and all I can hear out of them, I'm tired. Oh, man, I'm so sick of these people up in here. I'm sick and tired. Let me give you a point. Find rest in Jesus, and you will not be sick and tired, but you'll be joyous and satisfying and at rest, because it's a divine matter of rest.
Amen.
You know, some people try to find a drink to rest. That's why they have the Friday night bunch that gathers. That has always been dumb to me. I ran military clubs, and one of the biggest clubs in Hawaii, the biggest Army club, and all I saw people get drunk and act stupid. But that's supposed to be a Friday night rest from work. I think y'all got that. Next point, the availability of rest. Some of the members of the little church had become disheartened that though they thought the rest really was not available to them. Church, that is one of our major problems. We don't believe that we can have rest and peace. We get on this Ferris wheel and we just keep turning around and around instead of realizing you can have rest if you start with Christ.
Amen.
If you obey him, you can have rest. Lance, I feel like Chris Matthews when he talks. Next thing you know, he's spitting all over the place. So if I hit you over there... Go where your wife catches it, but if I hit you, don't hit me now. Do you get this point? It is available to all who believe. Are you still with me, Dwayne? All right. Psalm 95. You need to understand that it talks about this rest that David had in the desert. And you and I are in the desert of our life. We're in the desert. But as you know, what happened to the church was that that when they got out there, they forgot who brought them there. They start murmuring and complaining and taking idols with them. So we must make sure we don't do that. Amen?
Amen?
It's available to us. It's free. All you have to do is obey.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And this rest, by the way, remains. And this is a key point, that the open section of verse 6 is straightforward. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of disobedience. I have to continuously bring us back to being disobedient. Those who formerly had that gospel preached to them chose not to follow the ways of the Lord, and therefore they lack what? Faith. Faith is a must. And faith comes from obedience. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And this rest that remains, it remains each and every day of our life. Psalm 91 and 95, verse 7 and 8, draws our attention to the promise of rest. And also here in our text, it does. And again, therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as it was said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I preached on that. Do not harden your heart in the days that we face now. Don't let problems cause you to lose sight of your rest.
Amen.
You see, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so you cannot allow things that you see affect your faith. And how do you do that? By being obedient. I strongly encourage you to cut down on your TV time.
Amen.
I have to keep bringing this up, and y'all have heard this 1,000 times. The View. What's this lady that comes on after Keith Olbermann? Rachel Maddow. Here's a subtle example of how TV works. When that she came on the air was at the end of the elections or in the middle of the elections on NBC, CSNBC, or she looked like she was gay, but it wasn't known that she was gay. Y'all know what I'm talking about now? All right, well, this lady's tall, butch haircut. You know, I have an old saying, if it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck. But she goes on The View, and the first thing they bring out is that she's gay. And she's been with the same woman for 20 years. And I was telling Connie, you see, that's how what TV does. It changes the things of God. She's a respected journalist and has a high rating on NBC. But she's out of the will of God. And so all you need to do is look around and watch. If you measure what you hear and see against God's word, you will have rest. But see, what we do is we get caught up in the trappings of this world. And so we ain't measuring nothing against God's word. It almost seems unnatural to measure against God's word. I don't believe y'all got that. You see, man does not measure against God's word because he does not, for the most part, know God's word.
Amen.
And then if he knows it, he doesn't think it's applicable today. That's what we're being told in the text. That you were preached the word, you heard the gospel, but you didn't accept it.
Amen.
I mean, that's real. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it talks about women having a head covering. That, you better not preach about that. Amen, lights.
Amen.
But people of old did it because they had the simple belief of the scriptures. You see, the more wise we get, the more foolish we become. Oh, if y'all get that. You know, the wise man sets himself up for a fall. Slick people. The world's full of them. You know why they're slick? Because they have not the knowledge of God. Slick people. People who talk a game. And then when they get caught, they said, I didn't do it. Oh, that's how it works. Oh, y'all, somebody should be able to testify to that.
Amen.
I done stuff in my life, thought I was slick, and then when I got caught, one of the things about me, for the most part, I fess up because I really, I'm just that way.
Amen.
Less is Connie. I'm scared of Connie. I don't always. No, that's not true. Connie hangs on me for a while. I have to, she don't play. And I love her for that, by the way. Amen, Connie. All right, let me move off, Connie. I got to stay the rest of the day and eat my Weight Watchers food. And she's helping me, by the way. And y'all keep praying for us.
Amen.
As I pray for you.
Amen, my good.
Amen.
Challenge to rest. Challenge to rest is the last point I want to make with you. The preacher properly closes his section with the challenge to the church. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the examples of disobedience. Hebrews 4:11. How then do we make every effort, church? Or translated, it is do our utmost to enter that rest. Our passage suggests two things. First, we must do our utmost to focus on the rest. Did you get that, church? We must focus on his rest. We must strive to comprehend that it is a divine rest. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This ain't no earthly foolishness. This is divine.
Yes.
The rest that God personally enjoys. My rest, Hebrews 4:3-5, as he calls it. It is a Sabbath rest as old as the universe. It is a joyous, satisfying, and productive. We must do our utmost to grab a hold of it, church. There is no room for mental laziness. You hear what I'm saying? You've got to read your Bible day and night. And what's just as important, you must meditate on it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let me make sure we got this meditating. You, when you read it, then you got to think about how does it affect me? What is it telling me to do? How can I do it? You see, the Bible requires practical exercise. You know how you did in school? Poor Lance, God bless your heart. Lance and Glenn kick Lance that 1 hour, and he's sitting up, he's struggling. God bless his heart.
Amen.
I'm so thankful I wake up and I'm woke. Some people, it's hard. Second point. You must do your utmost to combine the hearing of God's good news of the offer rest with genuine faith. This faith, church, is essential. A believer must trust.
Amen.
You must trust God, not trust what you see.
Amen.
Faith is not what by sight, is by trust.
Amen.
Y'all got that? You got to trust the Lord. Not what you see in front of you. You know, when you have an enemy that's camping out around your camp, you don't focus on the enemy. You focus on trusting God to deal with the enemy.
Amen.
We spend too much time focusing on the enemy instead of focus on the one who can deal with the enemy. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You know, they're saying that your arms are too short to box with God. You put them under the blood of Jesus and you rest in the peace of Christ. That's the key. You don't sit in an argument and fight with an enemy. You, first of all, if you have wisdom, you know that if they're attacking you, they're lost.
Amen.
Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Anyone who makes it their business to put somebody down, I don't care who it is or where it is out of the rest of God. And so don't us make the mistake of coming out of that same rest by going after them. You can't win.
Amen.
And you can't lose with the stuff he uses. And so you have to have trust. And trust and belief work hand in hand. We serve a mighty God. You must not only say that, you must know that, and then you must follow that. And you can't do that, church, if you don't stay close to him. You see, in everything he says, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. You see, we're going to tell him some things, but you have to tell him everything. You so the enemy will tell you all you can't get off your knees, you can't run to God every 5 minutes or something. That's not what the word says. It says that you meditate on his word day and night. You call on him, he's always on the line. He don't shut down like we do at work and then call in and you get an answer machine and it just keep going on and put your number in and all this foolishness. You call him up and he hears you. You got to believe that. And you got to believe that when he hears you, he aids you. Now, don't go to him with foolishness. You see, when you go to him, you got to know that he is who he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who obey him. And so if you want true rest, church, you've got to have this trust in him. And finally, we can add to belief in trust. This was the bottom line for the wavering church. And by the way, the New Testament church wavered, just like we do. They saw the miracles that he did. They saw what he did where he went. And they some doubted. Matthew's the 28th chapter tells us. They still doubted. And so we got the word. And you have a preacher that's doing everything within his power, and that power is dunamis. Let me back up on that. This ain't my power, it's his power. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the start of having dunamis power. You got to first believe you got it. Mm-hmm. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. You see, I don't pay attention to my going to the school of theology. I know that's foolishness. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I do know. If I obey him, if I get in this word, he'll tell me what he wants to be told. And then before y'all get here, I'm praying, Lord, please allow me to be used of you, and that they have ears that will hear and eyes that will see. I don't preach for me. Somebody should be able to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about me. It's about him. And it's the same with you. It's not about you. It's about him.
Amen.
And if you want to rest, you stay close to him.
Amen.
So the question is, do you believe God can meet your needs? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. Because I have trust.
Yes.
He might not come when I want him, but he'll do what? He'll come on time, I tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
If you want peace from troubling spirits, rest in him. And when you find yourself getting upset, that means you're not trusting him. And in order to do that, church, you got to slow your roll. You see, the devil will keep you on this Ferris wheel. You ain't got time to rest. And you don't have time to think about the Lord. And by the way, don't let nobody fool you. See, there is no excuse for not having God at the center of your life.
Amen.
Just like there's no excuse for some of our members, not all, because some are in this case on the highway, but some are not here because they wanted to sleep in. You cannot have his rest. You can't. He's not a two-way guy. Either you follow him or you follow Balaam. So
Amen.
God's word offers rest, church. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Hebrews 4:9. Now we who have believed enter that rest. And the question for you today is, are you resting in Christ Jesus? Are you resting in his peace and his joy? Don't be deceived, church. You know, there are many people who don't hear God's word because they look at the preacher and one like me is a good example that is not following the traditions of men. They did that to Christ. They thought he was simple. That's the carpenter's son. God reveals things to the simple-minded. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You know, that's one of our biggest problems in the world is that we refuse to accept this gospel as a simple gospel. It's nothing complicated by it. You have highfalutin people who are Pharisees who try to make it what it's not. It's a simple gospel. Read, heed, and obey.
Amen.
Real simple.
Amen.
Ain't nothing complicated. You don't have to use no highfalutin words. That's why I'm never concerned in Bible study on this call if we can't pronounce Hebrew words right. I'm not a Hebrew. I got enough trouble pronouncing an English word. And so I'm going to sit up and get all high about you mispronounced that. You know, that's crazy. And it's also ungodly. Because God knows what you think and what you're trying to say, and he has angels that will carry it all the way to glory.
Amen.
But you got to be resting in him to know that. One of the worst follies and foolishness of man is to think that what he thinks is right. Listen closely. If you want rest, trust nothing but God's word.
Amen.
Don't let nobody tell you what you can know for yourself. Y'all got that?
Amen.
You listen at me as long as you hear the word. Now, if I come in talking about I got some gold bullions for you, then you tell me where to go when you leave. But if I'm preaching God's word and you're hearing God's word and it's changing your life, you ought to say amen.
Amen.
But God is a good God.
Amen.
Egan Anderson.
Amen.
Amen.
Turn to the book of Hebrews, in the chapter 11, verse 1.
That was easy.
What was that, please?
Chapter 11, verse 1 of Hebrew.
Church, I'd say amen.
Amen. And by the way, for Deacon Edison, continues. See, here's an example. When you hear chapter 11, you know it's talking about what? Faith.
Faith.
Carry on, Deacon Edison.
Where it says, by faith. Now, faith is sure of what we hope for and certain that we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command.
Amen.
So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. May God have a blessing to the reading of this word.
Yeah, that's important. Make sure you remember that. Faith ain't what you see. Faith is what you don't see.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you don't see a job, then you're walking by faith.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We prepare our hearts for communion. If we keep this thought in mind, if you run out, we will mail them to you. In fact, for big families, the kingdom will send them directly to you. God is good, is he not?
Amen.
Faith, not seen. That's why you don't walk by sight. Don't walk by what's in front of you, because you won't have no rest.
Amen.
I like the rest. Amen. Yes, indeed. This world will steal all your rest. They talk on TV as he's passing out the communion that people a survey was done by some country that people are not resting, that they don't get enough sleep, and therefore they have heart problems and all those other problems. Rest. Close the mind down to other than Jesus. Separate yourself from the rest of this kingdom. Everybody been served? Let us pray. Father God, as we now go into a requirement that you laid out through your son Jesus, that we take communion, and as often as we do it in remembrance of your son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the world. Now we ask, God, that you bless the bread and the wine as we prepare to commune together. Let us commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. After the supper in the upper room, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood." It was his blood, church, that was sacrificed for our sins.
Let us commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we thank you, we need you, we praise you, we worship you. You're holy and there's none other. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, in the presence of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Church, say amen.
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 God has taken us on this journey.